Welcome, everyone, ready to dive into the world of injection molding.
Sounds good to me.
Awesome. We're going to be talking about how plastic, sometimes metal, goes from being this hot liquid to like all the solid shapes we use every day, Reid.
Right.
You actually sent over some pretty cool stuff about all the parts of an injection mold. And honestly, I'm already kind of hooked. Like, I had no idea there was so much going on to make a, say, a bottle cap.
Yeah, most people really don't. It's pretty wild how much engineering goes into things we see all the time, you know, like even just the casting system.
Casting system. Okay, so that's what guides the hot liquid plastic into the mold, right?
That's it.
Okay, cool. So in these diagrams, there's a main channel, some branch channels, and then these things called gates. What's the deal with all of those?
Right, so think of the main channel like the highway for our melted plastic.
Makes sense.
Yeah, and then branching off from that, you have the branch channels like exit ramps or side streets. They make sure the plastic can reach every single part of the mold.
Oh, okay, cool.
And then we've got the gates. They're like the traffic signals controlling how much plastic and how fast it goes into each part of the mold.
Wow, so precision and control are super important right from the start then.
You got it. If it flows too fast, it can mess things up, put stress on the mold, or even damage it. Too slow, and it might not fill everything up. That's how you end up with those, like, incomplete parts.
Oh, right, yeah. And the main channel's shape, I noticed it's kind of cone-shaped, narrowing towards the mold. Is that just for looks or what?
Oh, definitely not just looks. It's all about the physics, right?
All right, go on.
So that cone shape helps manage something called shear stress.
Shear stress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as the plastic's flowing, friction builds up. That's shear stress. And it can cause all kinds of problems if we don't manage it.
Gotcha.
The conical shape helps to kind of counteract that. Keeps the pressure and the flow rate consistent. Like think of a funnel, how it directs liquid smoothly.
Oh, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah. So even something as simple as that shape has a big impact on how the final product turns out.
Makes you think, huh?
It really does. Every little detail matters in injection molding. So once that super carefully controlled plastic reaches the mold, it hits the molded parts.
Yeah.
That's what actually shapes the final object.
Okay, so in the notes, those are labeled cavity and core. Am I right in thinking one does the outside and one does the inside details?
You are absolutely right. Cavity does the outer surface, and the core shapes all those internal features or spaces.
Man, it's so cool how this works, turning just raw material into something so detailed.
It really is amazing.
But the notes also mention that if the cavity and core aren't aligned perfectly, it can, like, ruin everything. What kind of problems can happen?
Yeah, so even a tiny misalignment can lead to uneven walls in the product.
Oh, okay.
Which means some areas are too thin or too thick, and that's not just about how it looks. It can make it weaker, too. Remember that phone case you mentioned earlier? Imagine if one side was way too thin. Way more likely to break.
Totally. Okay, so there's this thing in the material about flash. What's that all about?
Okay, flash. That's when you get, like, a little extra bit of plastic squeezing out between the mold halves.
Oh, so it's like an overflow, kind of like when you overfill a cake pan and the batter spills out the sides?
Exactly. Sometimes it's easy to remove, but sometimes it can really mess with how the part works or looks.
Not good. Yeah. So how do you stop that from happening?
Well, you got to make sure the molds is clamped together really tight with enough force to prevent any leaks. And then designing that parting line where the two halves meet, got to do that really carefully.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And keeping those molds in good shape is key, too. If it's worn out, it's way more likely to have imperfections that'll cause flash.
Got it. So we've got the plastic flowing in, the cavity and core shaping it, but there's got to be more to making sure everything lines up just right, right?
Right.
So what about these guide parts I keep seeing in the diagrams? They look pretty small. Do they even matter that much?
Oh, they absolutely do. Those guide parts, things like guide pins and sleeves, they're like the unsung heroes here, making sure the two halves of the mold come together perfectly. Every single time.
Oh, wow. Okay. What happens if they're not working right, though?
Well, if the molds aren't aligned just so, it could be a disaster. You get all those problems we talked about, uneven walls, flash, features not matching up. Remember that story from one of your sources about that production run they saved? Because the guide parts kept everything aligned even when the pressure changed during injection.
Yeah, that was pretty wild. They saved a ton of wasted material and time, all thanks to those tiny little parts. It really makes you realize how important every little thing is.
It's true. And that brings us to another crucial step. How do we get the finished product out of the mold without messing it up? That's where the ejection mechanism comes in.
Right, because you can't just, like, yank it out once it's hard.
Exactly. That could warp or break the part, or even damage the mold itself. So the ejection mechanism uses this, like, carefully choreographed system of push rods and plates, sometimes even air pressure, to gently coax it out.
I bet the design of that has to be super precise, especially with those intricate shapes or delicate parts.
You are so right. Imagine something with thin walls or delicate features. The system needs to apply just the right amount of force in exactly the right spots to get it out without causing any damage.
Man, this is fascinating. Every step is like connected to all the others. You can't just change one thing without thinking about how it affects everything else.
That's injection molding for you. It's all about that interplay between all these different systems.
Yeah.
And speaking of interplay, there's another big player in turning that hot plastic liquid into a solid object.
You're talking about the cooling system, right? Tell me more about that, because it seems kind of magical to me, going from melted to solid so fast.
So the cooling system is basically a network of channels inside the mold.
Okay.
And we circulate a coolant, usually water, through these channels.
I see.
And that coolant takes the heat away from the plastic, letting it solidify super quickly and evenly.
So it's not just about getting it cool, it's about doing it the right way so the final product turns out how it should.
Exactly. If one part cools faster than another, you get warping, stress inside, all sorts of defects. It's like baking a cake. If your oven isn't heating evenly, the cake's going to be all messed up.
Okay, yeah, I get it. Makes sense. It really shows how much thought goes into every single part of an injection mold.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Hmm.
And there's another seemingly simple but totally crucial part we haven't even touched on yet, the exhaust system.
Yeah, that was in the outline, but I'm still a little fuzzy on what it does. Why does an injection mold need an exhaust system?
All right, think back to that cake analogy.
Right.
Sometimes you get air bubbles trapped in the cake, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Same thing happens here. As the plastic is filling up the mold, air or gases can get trapped. And that's where the exhaust system comes in.
Okay.
It's a network of tiny vents that let those gases escape.
So like a pressure release.
Exactly. Otherwise, you get voids or bubbles in the final part. It makes it weaker and can look bad, too. They can even stop the plastic from filling the mold all the way. Remember those short shots we talked about earlier?
Oh, right. Yeah. It's all starting to make sense now, how each system is so important for making sure the final product is good.
It really is a beautifully orchestrated process. And we've only just scratched the surface. There's so much more to discover in the world of injection molding. But maybe before we dive deeper, let's take a second to think about what we've learned so far.
Yeah. Okay, good idea. So the casting system brings in the hot plastic, the molded parts shape it, the guide parts make sure everything lines up perfectly, and then the ejection mechanism gets the finished product out safely. And of course, we can't forget the cooling and exhaust systems. They're both crucial for controlling everything and preventing those defects we talked about. Man, it's amazing how it all works together so well.
It really is incredible. And we haven't even gotten into the materials themselves or all the amazing new tech that's pushing the boundaries of what's possible with injection molding. But that's a conversation for another time.
You know, hearing all this about plastic, it really makes you think about the environmental side of things.
Yeah, that's a big one for sure. The stuff you sent over, it highlighted some real worries about how sustainable plastics really are.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I was reading about how much plastic waste ends up in landfills and the ocean. Kind of a bummer, honestly.
It's a huge problem, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
And a big part of it is that so much plastic comes from fossil fuels. So right from the start, we're adding to greenhouse gases.
Right, right. And not all plastic's the same when it comes to recycling. Some types are easy, but others, not so much.
Exactly. Some we can recycle with what we have now, but others, not so much. That's where that design for recycling idea comes in.
Okay, yeah. So it's like thinking about the whole life of a product, right? From the materials to if it can be taken apart and recycled easily at the end.
You got it. It's not just about using stuff that can be recycled. It's about making it easy to actually do the recycling.
Makes sense. Are there any companies doing this well, like as an example?
Oh, tons. Some are using these snap fit designs instead of glues or complicated fasteners. That makes it way easier to separate different plastics for recycling. Others are like putting recycled stuff right back into their products or even trying out these bio-based plastics.
Bio-based plastics, huh? Like, what are those made from?
Stuff like cornstarch or sugarcane, renewable stuff.
Oh, cool. Do they work as well as the regular plastics, though?
They have huge potential, but there's still some kinks to work out. Some aren't quite as tough, and making them can use more energy sometimes. But research is happening like crazy, and they're getting better all the time.
That's awesome. So there's a real push to find better solutions. That's good to hear.
Yeah.
What about those super tough plastics, the ones that are meant to last forever? Could those help with the waste problem?
Yeah. Designing for durability is a big part of it. If something lasts longer, you don't need to replace it as often, so less plastic overall. But it can't be the only thing we do. We got to figure out what happened to those tough plastics when they're finally done. Can you fix them up, refurbish them? And if not, can they be recycled properly?
So it's like attacking it from all angles. Make it durable, make it recyclable, and find new materials like those bio-based plastics. But what about the stuff that's just really hard or impossible to recycle with what we have now? Is there any hope for that?
There's a ton of research going on in what's called advanced recycling. One thing that looks promising is chemical recycling, where they use chemicals to basically break down the plastic into its building blocks so you can use those to make brand new stuff.
Whoa, hold on. So you could take like a plastic bottle, break it down to its molecules, and then use that to make a whole new plastic product.
That's the idea. It's like giving those hard-to-recycle plastics a second life.
That's so cool. Are there other ways people are trying to tackle this plastic waste issue?
Another thing that's getting attention is using enzymes to break down plastic. They're finding enzymes that can actually digest certain types of plastics, turning them into compost.
Wait, enzymes? Like the stuff that helps us digest food?
Yep. Pretty wild, right? It goes to show nature's been breaking down complex stuff for billions of years, and now we're learning how to use that power for our own waste problems.
That's incredible. It sounds like the plastics industry is finally starting to take responsibility for the environment, which is great to see. So what about the future of injection molding itself? What's changing? What's new?
One of the biggest things is this whole Industry 4.0 thing. It's all about using digital tech, like AI and machine learning, in manufacturing.
So like instead of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, we're getting smart factories run by algorithms.
Exactly. Imagine injection molding machines that can adjust themselves based on what's happening in real time, so they're always working at their best. Or systems that can predict problems before they even happen.
That would be so efficient. What else is on the horizon? Any other cool advancements?
Another really interesting thing is how injection molding is meeting up with 3D printing.
3D printing? I thought that was more for making like one-off prototypes, not mass production.
It started that way, but things are changing fast. Now they're using 3D printing to make the molds themselves.
Whoa, so instead of printing the final product, they're printing the thing that makes the product. That's crazy.
I know, right? It opens up so many possibilities for customization and prototyping. Imagine being able to whip up a custom mold for a limited edition product, or testing out different designs before you commit to making a ton of them.
This is blowing my mind. It sounds like injection molding is a super dynamic field, always changing and innovating.
It definitely is. And with everyone focused on making things more sustainable, with new materials and processes, I think the next few years are going to be really exciting for injection molding.
It's awesome to see how technology and creativity are working together to solve problems and open up new possibilities in this field. But with all this talk about technology, it's important to remember that at the end of the day, injection molding is still driven by people.
You're so right. Behind all these complex machines and designs, there are talented engineers, designers, and operators, and they bring their skills, their creativity, their passion to the table.
Yeah, it's easy to get lost in all the tech stuff and forget there are actual people behind every single product.
For sure. It takes a whole team with different skills. You know, you've got the designers coming up with the ideas, then the engineers figuring out how to actually make those ideas, and then the technicians running and fixing the machines.
Reading through all this stuff, it really struck me how much teamwork there is. It's not just one lone genius in a lab. It takes a whole bunch of people working together to get a product from, like, just an idea to something real.
It really is amazing. You've got the creative side, the technical know-how, and then the people who can actually make it happen solve the problems that pop up. And it's not just within one company. It's this whole chain of people and companies working together.
Right. Right, from the materials to making the mold to putting it all together in the end, it's like a giant puzzle.
And every step needs its own experts, its own set of skills. It really shows how creative and clever people are that we could make all these complex things using injection molding.
It makes you appreciate those everyday things we kind of take for granted, you know?
Totally. And it's that human element, that drive to keep making things better, that keeps the whole industry going.
That's a great point. So as we wrap up our deep dive into injection molding, what's the one thing you hope our listeners take away from all this?
I'd say the next time you're holding something plastic, just take a second to think about how it got there. From the raw materials, to all the design and engineering that went into it, to the people who made it all happen. It's a story about creativity, working together, and this constant drive to do things better.
Well said. It's a good reminder that even the simplest things have a whole story behind them. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, everyone. We hope you learned something cool today. And remember, there's always more to discover. So stay curious, keep learning, and who knows what amazing things you'll find.